Nutty Bites is geek approved by the Geek Out with Mainframe podcast. Let your geek flag fly high.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. Today, you've got me, Nuke Chas, and...
Hi, I'm Tech.
And we're going to give you your con survival guide. That's right, con season is upon us again already. Some of you have already gone out to a couple of cons, and we're about to go to our inaugural con for the season this week. We are headed down to Baltimore, Maryland for Balticon.
Hooray, Balticon.
Tech, do you want to tell the listeners what Balticon is?
Balticon is, what, 52? 49 years young. It is a literary science fiction convention that has moved forward with the times a little bit. So now you've got three main tracks for your panels. There is a literary track where they've got famous science fiction and fantasy authors that come every year to talk about their books, do some readings, do some signings, and just generally hang around and be cool dudes. They have a hard science track where they have people from NASA, Johns Hopkins University, and other famous intellectual institutes where they come and they talk about hard science that we use in our science fiction. And then now they've got, for the last few years, the new media track. Balticon has pretty much turned into the premier convention for podcasters.
Agreed. For me, I love it because it means that I get to basically see my podcast family. And this will be my sixth year. This will be your...
Fourth
year.
Yeah, I've right. missed a couple.
So you've been coming... not consecutively, but you've been coming as much as you can. Last year, the Queen needed you more than Balticon did.
Yes, indeed.
You were missed. But this isn't just about Balticon. This is about all the different conventions. Both you and I have gone to Balticon. We have both been to HalCon, which is a pretty big convention in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I have been to New York Comic Con. Have we been to any others?
We've been to Anna Maritimes.
Oh, Anna Maritimes, of course.
In Fredericton, New Brunswick. Fantastic little anime and general science fiction fantasy convention.
Yep. And of course, everybody knows of the big ones, Comic-Con and Dragon-Con and all of those things. It's actually kind of cute. My family is learning about conventions through me. And my sister asked me for a favor, and I told her that I was going to Balticon this week. And she says, oh, just do it after Comic-Con. Because to her, every convention is Comic-Con.
Right. Comic-Con has basically turned into the generic term. It's Velcro. It's zipper.
It's Band-Aid.
It's Band-Aid. It's
Kleenex. It's craft.
Exactly. There are a bunch of Goonie people in Star Wars costumes and some dude with a beard in a Leia bikini. It's Comic-Con.
Which is fine. Shows like The Big Bang Theory and other shows in popular culture. I think Castle has done convention episodes. A lot of these popular shows have done convention episodes, which has opened up people's minds to it. I know that my mother... Once was talking to me, and she was so surprised that someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson would go to Comic-Con. And I'm like, why does that surprise you? And she's like, well, I mean, he works at the Hayden Planetarium. I'm like, Mom, I talk to hard scientists all the time at conventions. Why do you think they get into space and science? It's not because they grew up reading mystery novels. Because they read science fiction and they wanted to be part of it.
I think one of my favorite moments at the convention was when I met and talked with John Smarr. Dr. John Smarr, professor of infectious diseases at Johns Hopkins University. He's an actual plague doctor. I was dressed as a plague doctor. So yes. The two plague doctors had to meet. I gave him the plague, the little stuffy of the virus. And it was a good time was had by all.
And the following year, he used you as a visual demonstration.
Of what plague doctors were like, absolutely.
Yes.
So con survival, it doesn't matter what the convention is, even if it's one of those non-geek conventions, you're going to a convention, you need to survive. So
yes.
Some of my tips here are for pretty much any convention. Other ones are geared a little bit more sci-fi, so I guess I'll start there. A lot of these conventions have great costumes, and, you know, a lot of people have fun in their costumes. You go around taking photos of the cool ones, pose with your favorite characters. You see someone dressed as someone from the same book or TV show. You want to hang out together, take some photos, you know, be all cool. So there's two types of costumes we're going to need to talk about.
Okay.
The first is your contest costume, or your, well, I forget what the official term is, but you've got the one that you're going to wear on stage with the music and the dance sequence and the everything. This is your big, bulky, cumbersome costume. This is the one you put your heart and soul into. This is your full Darth Vader suit. This is your... Jafar from Aladdin with, Plague Doctor is a little different. And we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
This is your big, big costume. This is not something you're going to want to walk around all day. So if you have one of these costumes, have a second costume ready. Something you can walk around in, something a little more comfortable, something a little more breathable, a little easier to maneuver in. When you're designing your walk-around costume, as some people call them, imagine yourself going up an escalator, getting into a crowded elevator, and going through a crowded room in the vendors area. If you can't imagine negotiating through a crowd of screaming toddlers without ripping a wing off or losing a leg, it's probably not a good walking around costume. Or, you know, dying of heat stroke, which is another thing that you have to consider, especially as a lot of these cons take place in the summer and or take place in the south.
Agreed. And I can't tell you how many times I've been at a panel and someone's Death Note costume is blocking my view or is getting in the way or people can't sit down because this person had to get out of the Death Note costume just so they could sit down. That's great for the competition. That's great for standing in the lobby. But if you're in a panel, nobody wants a 6-foot-tall book in their way.
Was it last year? The year before, everyone was really big on Attack on Titan.
Yes.
And everyone was walking around with the Zero G harness or whatever it's called, with the big boxy 6-sword. Scabbards on each side, which they had just made out of like foam or cardboard. So it's basically people walking around with 4-foot-long cardboard boxes hanging off their hips. Really hard to negotiate through
the dealer's room.
Through the dealer's room or even crowded hallways. I remember during Lar D'Souza's Dirty Origami panel, someone trying to shove their way past me with these big clunky cardboard boxes, and not the best costume for shoving your way through a crowd.
Agreed. So one of the things that you mentioned was, actually, you know what? Before we get there, so we're talking about costumes. Can we talk about what not to do in the sense of you see someone in a costume, you really like that costume?
Well, let me give you an example of if I see you in your Moogle costume and it looks really cute and I want to say something. Well, let's role play this out for a second.
Yeah, sure. I'm wearing my Moogle costume. It's made of flannel, by the way.
Excuse me there, Moogle Koopo.
Koopo.
That's a really cute costume. Can I take your picture?
Sure.
Click. Hey, guess what? Did you notice anything sexually inappropriate in that?
Nothing.
Was there the sounds of any awkward pinching or groping? Did I make an untoward sexual reference? I didn't. And you shouldn't either. And if you ever have this idea that you're going to walk up to someone dressed in some sort of really sexy costume and make an inappropriate remark, don't go to conventions and just leave your comment on YouTube like everybody else does. Just leave them alone.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, cosplay does not equal consent. Just because we are in costume does not mean that we want you grabbing us. And that goes for men and women. That goes for no matter what you're dressed in. Just a golden rule, costume or not, don't touch people without their permission. It's pretty easy, right? I think we learned that in kindergarten, right?
Right. But I will give an addendum to that rule. Do not touch anyone.
Yes.
Except if you are going to pose, if you have asked the pretty girl for a photo and she's going to stand right next to you and she puts her arm around your shoulder, put your arm around hers and actually touch her. Guys, you don't need to hover hand, okay?
Oh, the hover hand.
The hover hand is really, really sad, boys. And guess what? I know it's scary. These girls are really, really hot and these guys are really, really hunky. But guess what? If they're standing next to you and they're in that close proximity and they're there for the photo, just put your
arm. And they put their arm around you.
Just put your arm around their shoulder. Yep. It's fine. That is acceptable social contact. Now, if she says, please don't touch me, oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Mea culpa. And then move on.
Yeah. I had that happen to me at our first HellCon.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hover hand?
Yes, hover hand. where you had the most awesome Plague Doctor costume.
Still do.
And I had a really great steampunk cosplay, but next to you, it was nothing. But one person wanted their picture with me. And he comes in, and he wants to take his picture with me, and he comes in, and I put my arm around him, and he does the hover hand thing. I didn't know it was a thing until you pointed it out, and then I realized just how dang creepy that was. And then it was, do you want to get a picture with the Plague Doctor? No, I'm good. Walks away.
That was pretty funny.
And creepy. Okay. Although I was not hurt, you know, it was just weird.
So now I'm going to talk about something called spats.
Spats.
Shoe coverings.
Ah,
and
yes.
And leg coverings. Okay, guys, if you're building a costume that involves wearing uncomfortable footwear, and you can't imagine walking around for 8 hours in the hot, hot sun wearing uncomfortable shoes, just build canvas foot coverings that look like the shoes your character wear and put those on and put really comfy walking around shoes on underneath. The costume won't lose that much in appearance and your feet will thank you later. The first iteration of my Plague Doctor costume, I wanted brown leather shoes. And I got a set of used brown leather shoes for $3 from a from a secondhand clothing store.
Guy Frenchie's.
I think someone was buried in these shoes. I think these are old man.
What were they dug up and then?
These are old man death shoes.
Mm.
I think it's what he wore in the casket before his cremation.
Mm.
I mean, these are old man death shoes. And they feel like it when you walk around in them. They are unsupportive, even with insoles. I wore them for one con. I have never worn them again.
What do you wear now?
I wear army boots with my orthotic insoles in them. So I wear brown leather boots that from 6 feet away, they don't detract anything from the costume because they're still brown shoes. And my feet and my ankles and my hips and my knees have thanked me ever since. So comfortable shoes when walking around, guys. Girls, as well, if you aren't used to walking around in heels all day, maybe walking around in heels all day for a con is a bad costume choice.
Yeah, well, there are some women that can wear heels all day,
fine. If you're used to it, yep. Rock it. If you're not, understand that this is going to be an uncomfortable day.
Yeah, there are some women who can deal with, I'm told, if you get character shoes, it's a lot easier. These are shoes that are made for dancers and so forth.
Mm.
You, even if you're able to stand in heels during an 8-hour day, you're going to be at your con for longer than 8 hours. So you need to plan for that. You need to figure out what's comfortable.
There are some men who can walk around in heels for more than 8 hours.
There are. I am not one of these, and I can't tell you how many cons.
One of these men?
One of these men. No, I am not. I can't tell you how many cons that I have loaned out shoes to people who just packed the wrong shoes, didn't realize, even people who weren't in costume, just didn't realize how much of a toll their feet were going to take, and they borrowed my shoes, which is really funny because my feet are huge, so sometimes they were guys.
So this brings me to my golden rule of cons.
Yes.
Any fool can be uncomfortable.
Truth.
And this is pretty much my rule of life. As I lay here in pajama pants, reclining resplendently upon a bed with the microphone arm perched just so I don't have to move an inch or a muscle. I mean, it's fantastic. Any fool can be uncomfortable.
Says the man who wore a wetsuit to the dunk tank last week.
I did wear a wetsuit to the dunk tank exactly for that same purpose.
So, is that the end of it?
No.
Any fool? Okay, continue.
No, I got plenty more advice here.
Look into the mic.
Guess what? Hotel rooms are uncomfortable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I bring my own pillow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sleep in a hotel for 4 days. I want proper lumbar support or proper neck support. I want my sleep to be good. You're already not going to get enough sleep. You're at a con. You're going to be partying for like 3 or 4 days. You might as well have the little sleep you're going to get be good sleep. Have you ever noticed, something like a Seinfeld thing, have you ever noticed that hotel towels are about the size of a small piece of Kleenex?
Says the man who is the size of a small piece of Kleenex.
Yes, but I enjoy a big towel. So guess what? I bring my own towel. I don't mind doing a little bit of laundry when I get home.
If you're driving, you can pack these things.
Absolutely.
If you're flying,
well, if you're going
so
anywhere,
much.
You should always have a towel with you, right?
This is true. Otherwise, you're not a hoopy fruit.
Absolutely.
So getting back to the shoes, though, one thing I also suggest is have a couple of pairs of comfy shoes so that you can change back and forth. I have this wonderful steampunk Wonder Woman costume, and I have these great boots that I wore with it at our winter convention. Lovely, wonderful. Feet weren't too bad, but that one's a bit of an easier convention. I knew last May there was no way in heck I was going to be wearing boots up to my knees in Maryland heat. So I ended up wearing my Teva sandals with the arch support and all that. And I was like thinking, oh, you know, this doesn't really work for the costume. And then I realized, no, sandals works really well. Mm-hmm. So have a couple of those. I've got my running shoes. I've got my walking shoes and I've got those arch support sandals and I will mix them up throughout the day. And if your feet are starting to hurt, go switch into a different pair of comfy shoes. It'll make a world of difference. So what are some other comfort choices you've got?
Oh, comfort choices. Well, I bring more than enough spare clothes.
Yes.
You know,
extra underwear, extra t-shirts.
Absolutely.
Things to change out of because you don't know what's going to happen. Somebody might puke on you. You might sweat through your clothes. You may be crossing the street and end up in a downpour. Also, it's hot, but bring something warm because you never know. You might get a cold snap. And always make sure that you've got enough layers to take off because it's going to be hot.
Exactly. You know, temperature changes on a whim, especially at night in desert areas or whatever. As the temperature falls, as the sun goes down, temperature falls rather dramatically. So have a jacket or a sweater or something just in case. You never know. What's that magical math formula? Let's talk about that now.
Yes. This is the golden rule. This we should have said first off, but there is...
If you're going to listen to one part of the podcast, yes. Put a little indicator here. This is the part you need to listen to, friends.
Most important part of the podcast. All right, so this is the golden rule. It's been said called 3-2-1, but really it's 5-2-1 or 4-2-1. 3 hours of sleep. 2 meals a day, 1 shower every day. Make sure you get those. I really think you need at least 4 or 5 hours of sleep, especially because the way sleep cycles work, 4 hours is a full cycle. 5 hours gives you time to fall asleep and wake up. You need the bare minimum. So, you know, don't be thinking, I've got a 7 a.m. panel. I can hang out till 4 a.m. I'll be fine. You might want a little bit more sleep. But make sure you get enough sleep. Make sure you get enough food. You're going to want to eat, in a way that fuels your body more than you would for an average day because you're going to be awake longer. You're going to be moving a lot more and you're going to be sweating.
You're going to be moving around. It's going to be hot. And even if your con is in the winter or it's in climes that are not particularly hot, you're going to be in crowded rooms in a convention center with an AC system that cannot furnish because none of them can. It's going to be hot. It's going to be sweaty. It's going to be stinky sometimes. So try not to be a part of the problem. And a bunch of people in costumes that they didn't listen to the previous advice, so they're wearing inappropriately warm costumes and they're schwitzing all over the place. And guess what, people? Okay, so remember the magic rule. 4 hours of sleep, 2 meals a day.
One shower a day.
So you need that
very
shower.
Very important.
But the food, remember people, as much as we try to prove this at Balticon every year, whiskey's not food.
Yeah, whiskey is not food, no. Nor is your body, other alcohol.
You are going to be up and walking around and paying attentions in panels and talking to celebrities and looking at cool costumes and buying all kinds of merch. You are going to be hungry. Your body needs fuel, good fuel. So... you know, there'll be all kinds of, places to eat and things to go and crud that you can put into your body. But at least one of those meals, ladies and gentlemen, try to get a decent meal. If that means you have to stash a cooler in your room and bring some stuff from home and some tasty sandwiches or something to get some proper nutrition in you, absolutely.
And we will get to that after this segment.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll get to the cheapy way to fuel yourself. But know your body, know what you need for fuel, and make sure you give your body that fuel. And 2 meals, a meal is not a Cliff Bar, okay? It's not a power bar. A meal is an actual meal.
Right. Neither is a cup of coffee and 2 cigarettes does not count as a meal, nor is it recovery food.
We're looking at you, Tony. And that shower, it is important, not just so that you don't stink, not just so you don't get that like mental break, but to prevent the dreaded con crud.
Yes, indeed, con crud.
Con crud. That's right. You've got so many people jam-packed in with each other, sweating on each other. Germs are going to pass. And you know what?
I've gotten sick almost every time I've gone to Balticon. It happens at these big cons. So much, so many people jamming together like that, you're going to get sick.
so many times people show up sick and they bring the germs with them half the time not knowing it.
Please don't do that.
We did have one person have to go to the hospital because of pneumonia. You know, so this happens. You know, you have to make sure that you wash all that filth off.
I'm good, sorry.
Next, so in line with that, make sure you're washing your hands. Make sure you're drinking water. Make sure you're replenishing your salt. I know a lot of people try to cut salt out of their diet, but when you are sweating, sometimes you need to make sure that you get the salt back. If you do not have high blood pressure, you need to make sure you get the salt back. If you have low blood pressure, you better get that salt back.
Hey, everybody, listen to Tech Types, to Tech's secret recipe here.
Yep.
Do they have pens?
Sure.
Is the audience ready? Okay. Half and half mixture of water and your favorite fruit juice with a pinch of salt on top. Guess what? You have now created everything that you can get, all of those tasty electrolytes and the sodium and everything you get at a Gatorade with none of the sugar, and it's all natural and it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. And a lot of cons, not all of them, but a lot of them are very good about providing water. I know when we went to NMaritime, there were just tables of water and they were constantly replenishing them. At Balticon, they had those big Gatorade water coolers that you were constantly getting water. So scope out your con and check out, all right, where is the water? Do I need to bring my own? What happens if I run out? Where can I replenish? Because you need to just keep drinking and drinking and drinking water. Yes, that means you have to go to the bathroom more, but it's worth it. The other thing is, some cons have con suites where they actually have food for you as well. So check out, I've only seen this at Balticon, but I've heard of it at other conventions where you can go and
not
you
gonna
can
happen
grab
at,
food.
Not going to happen at the bigger ones.
No, it's not going to happen at Comic-Con. I mean,
65,000 people Dragon Con, they're not going to have a con suite with trail mix in it.
Yeah, but your smaller cons may do that. And one thing that I've noticed is smaller cons are a lot more friendly and catering to people with disabilities. So you can always get that information off the website of the con you're going to. So if you do have disabilities, you can check out what you need, where you can get the food, where you can get special access and so forth. So I'm broke. What do I do? How do I get those two meals in a day? How do I do this?
Bring
How do I keep
home.
Myself fueled? All right, give us some ideas.
Go to a bulk barn. Make your own trail mix. It'll cost you a couple of dollars. Divvy it up into little bags. Keep the bags in your pockets. Trail mix won't melt in your pocket. Trail mix doesn't need to be refrigerated. Trail mix, when done properly, is full of tasty, delicious proteins and vitamins and can keep you going when you need that little kick halfway through the day.
I always have trail mix with me at conventions. It is fantastic. Oatmeal. If you've got a hotel room, you can make yourself some oatmeal. Oatmeal is a great way to start the day, and you can add nuts on top. You can add peanut butter on top. You can add fruit, yogurt, whatever you need. You can throw that on top. You can bring a rice cooker and cook rice in your room and throw whatever you need on top, some sort of meat or canned meat or sauce or beans or whatever.
Every year at Balticon, our hotel is, which has, you know, a pretty decent restaurant attached to it and is surrounded by many good restaurants of different types. And we normally try at least a couple out.
Oh, yeah.
Some repeatedly. But a little bit further away, another couple hundred yards away from the restaurant alley, is the grocery store.
Yes.
So we pack the hotel room with all kinds of tender vittles that, you know, because restaurant food is great, but 4 days straight of three meals a day of restaurant food
is expensive.
Yeah. And it's not the greatest thing in the world for you. So a couple of survival meals. If you can get a hotel room with a refrigerator, take one. I can't say to smuggle in a refrigerator because the hotel might frown upon that. But
totally smuggling in a refrigerator.
We're smuggling in a refrigerator.
Yeah, everyone they started charging for refrigerators this year.
Wait, is that my bar fridge?
Yeah, your bar fridge.
The one with the Defy Authority sticker on the side of it.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that's the one.
That'll be perfect. That's totally fine. There's no problem with smuggling in your own refrigerator. But yeah, you can essentially create a whole con suite yourself in your room. And you can pack things up to go as well. You can pack up sandwiches ahead of time. I actually made sushi in the room last year.
Mm.
They had this beautiful sushi grade tuna and just a little bit of rice, a little bit of sushi. Good to go. Mm. Lots of protein.
So another point, a thing that is near and dear to me at conventions, and that's drinking. I can do that because I'm a mature grown up, and the piece of paper I carry in my pocket called my ID says I'm allowed. If you're not allowed, don't do it. But for the people who can, let's talk about drinking.
Yes, and if I can say, know your limits. Don't get swept up in the party. If you know that you get horribly sick after a certain amount, or that you become an angry drunk after a certain amount, make sure you stop and make sure you've got someone who will get you back to your room. If you can just be a happy drunk, I say as the person dragging people back to their rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So go back drinking.
That was pretty much it. You just completely stole my point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, tell us the fun stuff about drinking.
Well, you're gonna
smuggling your own booze.
No, well, no. I can't. I'm not going to advocate any crimes here or anything that would get you kicked out of the hotel.
Room booze. You don't drink your room booze in the bar.
No.
But you can have room booze. There's nothing wrong with that.
Know your poison. Bring your poison. Bring more than enough poison to share with your friends if you can. Guess what? Room parties are awesome because once the most of the panels are done, or even while some of the not so good panels are going on, you're in your room and you're partying with your friends. So guess what? Bring enough to share. Introduce people to your favorite poison. Get them to introduce you to theirs. Have a fun time. Do so responsibly. Know your limits and do so safely. Do not drink and drive.
No.
Do not do anything that would put yourself in a compromising or stupid situation. And remember, this is going to lead to my... I'm going to go from that and segue into my golden rule of conventions here.
Mm.
Be nice.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of people put a lot of hard work to put a convention together. You got countless volunteers and the people on panels, the people behind the scenes, the people doing all of the work, the hotel staff, all of the other guests that are there, patrons, you've got the vendors, everybody is there doing their darndest. All of the cosplayers, all of the writers, you know, everybody that's there is doing their darndest to put on a good show, to have a good time. So remember what your mom told you when you were four. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you see someone in a costume that you don't agree with, maybe the 300-pound man shouldn't be wearing a Wonder Woman costume.
Yes, he should.
But who are you to judge? Guess what? Leave him alone. You see, it's not a place to pick fights. It's not a place to tell George Takei that you really don't like Star Trek and Sulu's an idiot. It is not a place to get into a massive row in the lobby as to whether Bulbasaur could beat Snorlax in a fight. You know, and we all know he couldn't. Come on, Snorlax would take him. He'd be asleep and he just wouldn't care. Snorlax don't care. Snorlax, more like Borlax. And the argument continues again in my mind. So, guys, you know, be nice, be friendly, and guess what? All of my time, my good con memories, me walking around with my Plague Doctor beacon, and someone walks up to me, and a little girl says, "It's the Birdman!" Or somebody calling me the Angel of Death, or someone wanting to give me a hug because she has a huge thing for Plague Doctors. You know, people being nice. Yes?
Or the little girl asking if she could give me a hug. Because I was dressed as a Moogle.
Absolutely wanted to give a... Who doesn't want to give a Moogle
Mom,
a hug?
Mom, she's soft like a real Moogle would be!
So, you know, you see somebody in a really cool costume that you really appreciate, go up and say, "Hey, man, cool costume. Can I take your picture? Hey, man, well, that's awesome. Could I get you to sign something for me?" You know, be nice. A lot of people put a lot of hard work over the year to make it to these conventions. So reward them. Even a simple, "Hey, man, that's cool," is worth millions of dollars to me, and it's the only reason I go. It's the only reason I have fun. You know, you get recognized. Somebody, I mean, the last time I went to Balticon, I would walk down the hall and people would tip their caps and call me Doctor in Italian.
Yeah,
as I would walk by Il Dottoro. So that's cool. That's worth more than any cash to me. So just, you know, be responsible, but most of all, be nice.
Yeah, I'm just going to say pretty much the same thing. Be nice. Your favorite celebrity, they're not going to get into a conversation with you about their character. Understand that they have a time limit, and generally it's not set on them. If you have to pay for an autograph, it's not them setting the price. It's the convention, and that's how they pay for them to be there. So just deal with it. If you want the autograph, pay for it. If you don't want to pay for an autograph, don't pay for it. But it's not the celebrity's fault. And remember, they pretty much have a very strict time schedule. So you're not going to be able to get one-on-one time with them. Some conventions, you may. You go to a smaller convention and you may be able to hang out at the bar with these celebrities, which is why smaller conventions are so great. We said don't drink and drive, but also if you feel you need help getting back to your room or getting back to your hotel even, ask for help. There will be people around that will help you. If you don't know anyone at your convention, ask for help. Somebody will help you. Geeks are generous and we are there to help people. I remember helping a girl back to her room. I didn't know who she was. She didn't know where she lived, but we found her room because she looked around, saw another geek and said, I need help getting back to my room. I can barely stand. And we did it. And that's all that it takes. And if you are in a position to help someone, help them. Be that geek. Because we are not the obnoxious trolls that are on the internet.
Mm. Oh man, you're going to have to do so much editing after this.
Why?
Putting things in the right order. Because, well, I just thought of something else.
Yes.
So, okay, so we talked about your survival. We talked about other people's survival because now you're not going to puke on them or beat them up. And you're going to have some proper nutrition and proper hygiene. So you're not going to die of con crud or dysentery.
Yeah.
So let me tell you about something else that's going to get a lot of wear and tear for those 4 days. The hardest thing ever is the wear and tear on your costume. So a good survival tip is have a first aid kit for yourself and a first aid kit for your costume. I'm talking hot glue gun, needle and thread, some tape, a Sharpie, and maybe some little bits and bobs for those hard to replace parts of your costumes. You got a really, really cool 4-button suit. Pack a 5th and 6th button just in case you lose one. So then you're not stuck without a button.
Fashion tape,
laces, laces for shoes, zip ties for any of the larger, bulkier pieces, a good old roll of duct tape if you're making a cardboard costume. Okay, these little things can hide a myriad of sins. And remember the golden rule of costuming. If it looks good from 6 feet away, it's good enough. So don't worry, you're going to fret over all the little itty bitty details, but from 6 feet away, people probably can't tell, so don't worry about it. Just enjoy your time. But a hot glue gun, a black Sharpie, and some duct tape has fixed so many things on my costume.
And base layers. If you're wearing your costume for multiple days, make sure you've got fresh base layers. So you've got a fresh undershirt, you've got fresh shorts, you've got fresh whatever goes underneath the costume, because you're going to be wearing the same jacket or the same shirt every day. And I know you don't want to put on extra layers, but think about it. You sweat into your base layer, you remove it, the outer layer is still relatively clean. You can Febreze it down, but you don't want to be sweating into your costume. So wear your base layer, discard it, put on a new one the next day. That'll also prevent con crud.
And, it all goes down to costume design. And think about the convention that you're going to, the size of the area that you're going to be in. And as great of a concept as the Hannibal Lecter tied to the gurney or tied to the fridge cart costume is with the straitjacket. If you ever worn a straitjacket for 8 hours, you're going to get cramps. Your arms are going to hurt. And you are going to be really, really sick of being wheeled around by an orderly. So maybe not the best idea for a walking around costume.
Yeah.
Maybe good for the costume contest.
So I think now's a good time that we dive into some feedback from our new quality control guy, Aaron, from the Prisoner Introcast. He's been doing a lot of quality control for the Nutty Bites podcast. He listens to it and makes sure that I don't miss any swears.
Mm.
He's been...
Forget.
Why? I hate you so much. I really wasn't going to edit this until you did that, jerk. I'll make you edit it. Oh, then it'll never be released. So this is from Aaron. Hello, nutcases. So the following is my list of tips for cons in no particular order, really. Number one, yet they're numbered. Bring a backpack.
That's like half a novel there.
It is.
You may need to abridge this.
Bring a backpack or a drawstring bag. Trust me, it helps with the following tips. And you're going to want somewhere to store whatever swag you end up purchasing. Got to show off those buttons some way, right? I agree. Yes, having a good bag is very helpful. You want a tote that's going to hold your phone, your camera, your program, your schedule, any of the stuff that you buy. You're going to be constantly getting flyers and stuff, and you want to hold all that. If you can work it into your costume, awesome. If not, don't worry. Figure something that's easy to carry and easy to take off. Speaking of swag, number two, make sure you set yourself a limit on how much you're going to spend on goods, autographs, etc. Otherwise, it's possible you're going to go and spend way more than you should.
Let's have the fun at cons.
Personally, I find it best to have the amount in cash to keep me on track and in check. Also, sometimes if you want to wait for the last day, dealers will have discounts because they don't want to carry all their stock back with them. Also, if you're not able to buy from them that day, at least ask if they have a website or a business card to look at their stuff later. This is a really good tip, and it helps for us. We just work basically on cash.
Yep.
He comes up to me and says, can I have some money? And I do most of the budgeting. But it is. It's a good idea. It's how much do you want to spend? And set yourself a limit. If you are really broke, don't set yourself a limit that is going to cost you too much. You know, don't spend your school book money on cool toys, because you can buy all that stuff once you've gone to school and you start making money. You know, just because you don't get it today doesn't mean it's you're never going to get another geek thing. And that's something to think about. So if you're in school and you've got a tight budget, make sure you don't waste all that money on a convention. You can do that later when you're older or like us. Right?
Yeah, or you don't even have to be in school.
Well, guys, I said younger, you know.
Yeah, but guys, you know, cons are really cool, and there's all kinds of really, really cool stuff, but it's just stuff.
Yeah.
Going beyond your means to get, you know, that official Star Wars tea cozy set might not really be the thing to go broke on, you know, but I know we all have this problem. Usually meet a leather vendor's table when you walk into that vendor's room and it's, oh my God, gotta have it.
I want everything. My advice is also never buy anything the first time you see it. Take a trip or two. That may mean that somebody else buys it, but that's okay. That just means it wasn't meant to be.
Oh, like when I lost that beautiful Bruno Target 22 at the gun show because I decided to take one more lap and try to figure out how you'd kill me for buying it.
Wrong convention.
Well, that's a type of convention, but that's the thing. I took one other lap before deciding to buy this thing, and by the time I got back, it had a big old sold
sticker. But you have
on
a whole different project now. So it wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't meant to be.
There we go. Okay. Number three, snacks. Always have a small stash of them. It's easier to grab a granola bar or something to munch on out of your bag, then try and wait in the always long line for con food, which I've often found is overpriced. This is true. Many cons charge way too much for crappy food. Water bottle is a must. This is number four. Hydration is key, particularly if you're going to go to a larger con in a warm environment like Dragon Con in Atlanta at the tail end of summer. It will be hot. There will be people, and you will want water. Again, it's easier to pull it out of your bag and refill it than to try and get a bottle from the long food lines. Again, check out your cons. A lot of cons have water. People don't always know about it, but be aware that some cons, like Comic-Con and Dragon-Con, they're going to charge you for water, and it's much easier to have your own.
Remember, guys, half and half. Fruit juice, water, pinch of salt, Gatorade, done.
Yep. Number five, pick a few things you really want to do and make sure they are spaced out. Yes, there's a lot to do, but the odds are that you won't get to do everything and you really need time to get to panels or even just take a bit of a breather between panels. Seriously, people, pace yourself, particularly if you're there for the entire con. The artist alley and shops aren't going to go anywhere, people. Yep, this is true. Smaller cons, you often don't have to wait in line to get into a panel. Larger cons, I've heard that you have to line up at the previous panel just to get in for the panel that you want.
Oh, it's happened in the smaller ones too, when you get to the really popular panels.
Standing room only.
Yeah, standing room only, and even some, there was, you know, lines waiting to get in for some of the ones. And be patient, you know, study your schedule the night before and, you know, anticipate and know what's coming up.
And If anything, you get to have chats with people online, which is always fun. Number six, hand sanitizer and hygiene. Okay, it's not completely needed, but no one likes getting con crud. This sounds familiar. Always remember to at least bathe once. Bathe once you're home if you're not only there for a day or back in your room. Oh, sorry, if you're only there for a day. Yeah, so if you're coming from your house, make sure you take a shower as soon as you get home or back in your room. I've been around some of the 24-hour gamers in the video game rooms. It's not a pleasant smell, people.
It never is.
No. Number seven. Not that I think anyone who listens to Nighty Bites doesn't know this one, but remember, cosplay is not consent. Seriously. But to expand on this, remember to always ask if you can take a cosplayer's photo. Even people who are in awesome cosplays need to take breaks. They're actual people, too. And I think this about wraps it up for me. Again, we talked about the cosplay is not consent. That is very important. The other thing is, if you are asking the cosplayers for a photo, a lot of times they will have a pose that they do for pictures, and they're going to make your picture even better. So you don't want to get like Pinkie Pie, you know, picking a wedgie. You want to get Pinkie Pie doing her, you know, annoyed face as Rainbow Dash is being all awesome.
Is this from like a TV show or something? What are these characters you're talking about?
Yeah, you have no idea what I'm talking about,
never,
right?
Never heard of this. What is a Pinkie Pie?
It's something you've cursed me with.
Completely ignoring the fact that I have a picture of me as the plague doctor getting kissed on the beak by Rainbow Dash while Pinkie Pie is all huffy and jealous.
Yes. So, yes, these are some excellent tips. Thank you so much to our Southern correspondent, Aaron. But yeah, no, think about the time. If you're at Dragon Con, I hear the line for the elevator takes forever. So if you just need to run up to your room, that's going to take like an hour at least. So make sure you know what you're doing. As we said, make sure you eat. So plan for eating in between those panels. Sunday may be a little tricky for me on that, note, but plan, do what you need to do. Remember that if you're interacting with people, if you're seeing people there, people are going to be your better memories over panels. Panels are fantastic, but the people that you run into are going to be your favorite time, I think.
Mm-hmm. I know to a lot of people here, you know, it's the one time a year that you get to go and hang out with your extended geek family. And it is for us too. I mean, you got like the geek writing circle and all of the friends and the people from across the country that come into Balticon, and we get to hang out with them. So it's like it's somewhere between like Woodstock and Nerd Mardi Gras. So it really, really tempting to overstimulate and overindulge in everything. You know, it is Mardi Gras Woodstock, but a little bit of moderation can go a long way. And, you know, think of all those negative stereotypes of people at cons and, you know, the negative stereotypes that there are in the geek culture. And don't be that guy.
Absolutely. Don't be that guy.
We're better than that. And, you know, be the change.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see a positive change. We want this. I really wish we didn't have to give some of this advice, like showering every day. Come on, people. You know better than that. Your mom taught you better. Or the whole cosplay is not consent thing. We all know better than that. Come on, guys and girls. Treat cosplayers with respect. Treat each other with respect. Yep. Don't do that. That's just silly. You know, well, I don't understand why I have to listen to this speech when that guy obviously didn't hurt it. Well, guess what? Be the change you want to see.
Yep.
Be the positive influence, and everyone around you will become better for it.
Absolutely. And the last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up is social anxiety. Geeks are known to have social anxiety.
Social gatherings for people who have problems with social skills. Awesome.
Exactly.
It's like D&D.
Well, it's like being part of a club that attracts nothing but socially awkward people, which we were in. It's called a radio station.
Mm.
The thing is, as geeks, we are generally not outgoing people. I see a lot of people on my friend's wall talking about how they're introverts. It's like they think that this is a small sect of people in the community. And it's not true. So many of us are. Many of us have introvert qualities. Many of us are shy. Many of us have serious problems figuring out how to be social with people. People that maybe we're fine on Twitter with, but Now we're seeing them face to face, and oh gosh, what do I do? Just remember, they're just as socially awkward and as scared as you are. And greet them with a smile. One thing that I have been told, personally, is that I make people feel very at home at cons because I'm outgoing. And when I see somebody's new to a con, I try to introduce them to people. I point things out to them. I try and be really helpful because I know what it's like to be that person. My first con I went to all by myself. Now, I knew that there were people I had met on the internet going there, but I didn't actually go with anyone. And it took me like half a day to find the one person I was planning on clinging to most of the weekend. And he was way more socially awkward than I am. So we all have it. You don't have to drink alcohol to get over it, though some people will do that. Just ease into it. You may run into some people that are a lot more socially awkward than you, and you don't know who they are, and they just stand next to you and try to interject into your conversation. Just be nice. Just remember they're trying their best. They don't know how to do this any more than you do. So give them a shot.
Also, kind of goes without saying that, you know, the staff at these hotels are really, really good for finding stuff that breaks the rules. Like, yep. They found our barbecue within 5 minutes. So maybe a con is not the best place to get high. And maybe you should just leave your weed at home. I think you can go for a couple of days without smoking up. And as cool as it would be to watch those new trailers blazed out of your brain, I assume, don't. It's just stupid. You're going to get caught and you're going to get in trouble. And, you know, negative stereotypes and all that. Just don't. But, yeah, you know, as for the whole social anxiety thing, you know your triggers. Nobody knows your triggers more than you do. You know what you're comfortable with. And if you're not comfortable, have an escape plan.
Yep.
If you have to sit by the door, or you know, sit next to an exit or something, or I really want to go to that panel, but the crowd's going to be too big. Well, don't
show me hoodler.
Don't force yourself. You're there to have fun. You're not there for psychotherapy. You're there to have fun. You're not there to push anything. You're not there to prove anything to anyone else. You're not there to, you know, it's not psychotherapy. It's a convention. It's supposed to be fun. So do what's safe. Do what's comfortable for you. And if you find yourself in a situation where things aren't cool or things aren't comfortable, leave.
Yeah.
If you
take a break.
Take a break. Go back to your room. You know, meditate. Take a shower. have a nap. Maybe, you know, 20 minutes of shut eye before the panel, you'll feel better.
If you're not at the Khan Hotel, go take a nap out on the grass. Take a walk around the block, something.
There is an organization of the berserkers at Balticon, the diehard volunteers that are there 24 hours a day to help you with anything. And all these other conventions have volunteers, normally in bright colored shirts, normally with a badge that identifies them. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem, find a volunteer. They are there to help you. They're not there to judge. They're not there to cause problems. They are there to help.
And they do it just because they love it.
And they do it because they love it, and they are there for you. So please, if you have a problem, if something's going on, if you need to go back to your room to get your medication because of X reasons, if you're lost, if you lost a shoe, you know, go talk to a volunteer, see if they can help you. They're there for that. And be nice to your volunteers because they're there for you and for no other reason. So just because you lost a shoe is no reason for you to flip out and lose your brain at this poor little volunteer who's there to help you find it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just know things are going to get messed up. Panels are going to be messed up. People are going to be put on panels without knowing it. People are going to be late to panels. You may think that an autograph session is going to happen in the afternoon, but they move it up to the morning, so you may miss the autograph from the actor that you want.
Two of the panels you really, really want to see will be booked apart from each other. The guest you really, really wanted to see got substituted for a guest you really, really don't want to see. The social interaction you've been waiting all year for didn't end up the way you wanted to. And the person you were hoping was really, really nice ended up being kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
All of these things will happen, but guess what? We haven't mentioned the really awesome things that happen at cons either.
Oh, no. It's one of the best things. We look forward to it every year.
Absolutely.
With all of these stressors and things out there, it's going to be a blast. I can't tell you what I was upset about with panels last year, other than them being booked back to back with everything else I wanted to see, because that happens every year. But I can't tell you the specifics of what I missed last year, but I can tell you that I had a blast. And every convention I went to, I have memories that I will have for the rest of my life.
Absolutely. You know, if you want to think about it, Woodstock was nothing but a music convention in our Farmers Field in upstate New York. And all of these other great things, you know, so yeah, this is our Woodstock. This is our, you know, our annual pilgrimage to, you know, Mecca or whatever. It's a trip we make every year to hang out with friends, be social, meet the extended family, meet the new members of the family, you know, and, you know, say evil things about the people who didn't make it this year. Sigler, we're looking at you. and, you know, and how them Red Wings doing, by the way, buds. Anyway. You know, we'll just keep talking trash about sports teams and, you know, the sports ball and all the other nerdy, geeky things we talk about and have way too much fun, drink way too much rye, and straggle our way back to work with great memories of, you know, friends and friendships and cool swag that we got and panels that we were on and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, and lastly, plan yourself some decompression after the con. Don't have to go to work like the very next day, although I've done that many times. It sucks.
You said lastly like six times.
I know. We keep having to wrap this up. But go. If you've never been to a convention, find a convention near you. Just go. You'll have fun. I am completely socially awkward, which you wouldn't guess from listening to my podcast, but I really am, especially when I don't know anyone. And I've gone to New York Comic Con by myself and had a blast. So you, if I can do it, you can do it. Find your support system. And if you see me at a con and you're freaking out, just come on over. I'll make you feel better.
Yep. And if you see a beaked plague doctor at a convention, normally with some rye handy, come say hi. Let's talk. Let's talk guns. Let's talk Aikido. Let's talk all kinds of things. Let's talk general geeky nerd stuff. Why Star Trek is better than Star Wars and vice versa. We can have a fun time.
He'll even talk My Little Pony with you.
I will do no such thing. Rainbow Dash is the best.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy your con season.
The crew of the deep sea exploration rig Leaguer have discovered the sweetest, most easily refined oil that's ever existed. A sample barrel of their new find makes its way from Papua New Guinea to Houston Analytical Laboratories for confirmation of Leaguer's test results. As an infection breaks out on the faraway rig, the scientists at HAL make their own discovery. What Leaguer has found isn't oil, but a dangerous organism that could threaten all life on Earth. Trapped in their labs, the scientists must find a way to fight a creature that defies chemistry, physics, and biology. Paul E. Cooley's The Black Arrival is a parallel story to the Amazon horror bestseller The Black. A sci-fi techno-thriller, Arrival is a page-turner filled with suspense and claustrophobic terror. Available May 22nd in ebook and paperback from Severed Press, and as a free podcast from shadowpublications.com. We don't believe in happy endings.
Ghost ships, alien parasites, planetary crime lords, and galactic godfathers, life beyond the borders of the Solar Alliance can be dangerous. Find out just how dangerous with Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Are you a fan of classic science fiction adventure? Join me, author and narrator Mike Luoma, each week for Glow in the Dark Radio, the free science fiction podcast where I read you my stuff. Find the show at glowinthedarkradio.com or search Mike Luoma and or Glow in the Dark Radio on iTunes. Listen now for my soon-to-be-released new novel, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. The book arrives May 23rd. Pre-order at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes now. Hear a chapter each week on Glow in the Dark Radio. More information at glowinthedarkradio.com.
Okay, so here are... this is from Aaron... Stop rubbing your chin against the pop filter.
I didn't. There is no pop filter.
That's a pop filter.
Well, there's a spongy thing.
Yeah, it's a pop filter.
And that was me doing it on purpose.
Profanity.
Because I'm editing this out.
She said a bad word. Hold on, was that? What?
You just cursed again.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, well. Sorry. Come on, guys. Okay, you know the...
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.